Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Given this message this morning, the title of Honor Begins at Home. Father, I pray and ask your blessings on the reading of your word today. I pray, God, you would help me to be able to preach this message today in the power of the Holy Spirit, and as always, present it truthfully as the Bible teaches us. Pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I suppose it probably comes as no great shock to anybody here this morning to hear me say that I believe in this day and age in which we live in, the family as we know it, the family unit as we know it, is in trouble. It is an endangered species, if you will. I'm absolutely certain that the foundation of a healthy society is a healthy family structure. I believe that without reservation. Without that firm family structure, without that firm foundation, society is doomed. And I believe that's what's happening in our nation today. We live in a day and age which many people, and this even includes some of our leaders today, they will not stand and tell you what a woman or a man is. They will say, you can't know. Yes, sex may be biological, but gender, that's a choice. Many people today can't tell you what constitutes a biblical marriage. Many people today don't take their vows nearly as seriously as they should. They're in it for a while and until marriage for a while and until it gets to be burdensome, they'll go somewhere else, regardless of the fact that God has spoken about what marriage is to be. And many children in our society today, do not know what it means to honor and respect their parents. The nuclear family, maybe you've heard that phrase before or that term. The nuclear family was once widely held to be the most basic and universal form of social organization. The nuclear family once was defined as a family that consisted of parents and the children, their children, with the parents being male and female, and it could be children that were biological or they could have been adopted, but that was what was considered to be a nuclear family, but not so much anymore today. As I was studying this week, and I did a little reading, not exhaustive, but today the nuclear family can also include parents who may identify as LGBTQ+. The nuclear family today can also include parents that aren't even married. They have a family, they're together, but they're not even married. Family's in trouble, folks. It's in real trouble. And what I've just described to you is in opposition to God's plan for the family. And if it is in opposition to God's plan, then God is opposed to it. And if God is opposed to something, it is not sustainable. We cannot continue to thumb our nose in God's face and expect to not pay the consequences for disobedience. God has a very definite structure for the family. We find it in the Bible, and his plan has not changed. It's been the same all along. And he also gives us instructions for how the family is to function, how we are to relate to one another. And as we see here in the Ten Commandments, there is a command that deals specifically with the family. And as we also see here in this command, according to God's words, obedience to this command is absolutely essential for the survival of a nation. Now, I've been asked before, preacher, what do you think the future looks like? What do you think the future of the United States looks like? And I don't like it when people ask me that, because I have to be very negative when I say what I believe the future of the United States of America is. It's not good. I am a firm believer we have passed the point of no return. It's not good. And one of the reasons why is what I'm talking about here this morning. The family, as God designed it, has been cast aside so that man could do his own thing. God told the Israelites, do not obey this command, and you will not live long in the land. This is a command that is repeated in the New Testament. And the same is true. Disobey this command, and you're doomed. When that will happen in its fullness, I do not know. But I believe the die has already been cast. However, I do believe that for believers today, we must strive to follow God's command. Regardless of what the rest of the world does, we must follow this command. So let's talk about this subject, about honor begins at home, here in this fifth commandment. And the first thing that I want to point out about this particular commandment this morning is this. This command is about authority. It is about authority. Now, as we study the Bible, we will find that God has established the principle of authority. Okay? Listen, God is big on authority. The Bible tells us that citizens are to submit to government. Romans 13, verse 1. Unless the government commands us to disobey God, when government and the Word of God are in opposition, we follow God. But the Bible is very clear. As Christians, we are under the authority of whatever government has been established where we live. That's God's idea. The Bible teaches us that believers are to submit to one another in Ephesians 5:21. Did you know that as believers, that you and I are to actually consider others as more important than ourselves? We are to submit to one another. I'm to look at you as more important. I am to desire to help you meet your needs. When your burdens are overwhelming, I'm to come along beside you to help you. The Bible says that wives are to submit to husbands. And I know this gets a lot of people worked up sometimes when you talk about it. But it's what the Bible says. And listen, folks, submitting to your husband has nothing to do with your worth or your value. Nothing whatsoever. It is about order. And it's God's design. Bondservants are to submit to their masters. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. And oh, by the way, Peter goes on to say there in 1 Peter chapter 2, when he talks about that, he says, you are to submit to your masters, whether they are good or whether they are harsh. That's God's will. Churches are to submit to elders. Hebrews 13, 7. Churches are to submit, to follow those who faithfully teach the word, to place themselves under that authority. And as we see here, and in places like Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians 3, children are to submit to their parents. They are to obey their parents. By the way, all through this, I've been trying to bring Jesus into this so you could see how all this lines up just perfectly. Jesus submitted to his parents. Jesus submitted to his Father. Jesus is our example, folks, of what it means or how to carry out this particular commandment. God has established this thing called authority, and he expects us to fall in line with his design, because when we don't, there is rebellion, and where there's rebellion, all sorts of trouble is going to follow. And so this teaches us also the fact that God has established this principle of authority, but that children should learn about authority from the home. Children should learn about authority from mom and dad. They need to learn this principle from you, as my kids needed to learn it from me, and I needed to learn it from my parents. See, your children and my children, they are going to see this thing called authority in every aspect of life. It's going to be everywhere. So at a young age, they need to be shown this is authority. This is how you react to authority. This is the boundaries. Now you stay within these boundaries, because if you don't, there's going to be trouble. They need to learn that, mom and dad, from you. We need to stand tough. Because let me tell you something, and y'all already know this. The world does not care about your children and their whining tantrums. That's not going to move the world. They need to learn at an early age, that ain't going to get you anywhere. The world will not look at your children and say, oh, man, look at, they're just so sweet, I could just eat them up. Hey, the world will. The world will chew them up and spit them out and never give it a second thought. They are to learn this principle at home. That is where authority has been established. That is the responsibility of the parents. And you know, sometimes parents get mad at authorities, the policeman, or a principal, or a teacher. Y'all may find this hard to believe, but every once in a while, they'll get mad at a pastor and a youth pastor for simply telling them what the Word of God says. And it's not our responsibility to instill that in them. Yes, we are to come and undergird what you're teaching, but it's your responsibility. It's the parents' responsibility to understand this. And by the way, failing to honor parents ultimately is failing to follow God Ultimately, it is failing to submit to God's authority. And only chaos and corruption will follow when we fail to follow God's commands. Listen to what the Lord said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 16. Some of y'all may have already studied this here at some point in time recently. He said this, and it shall be, when you show this people all these words about coming disaster and judgment, and they say to you, why has the Lord pronounced all this great disaster against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord. They have walked after other gods and have served them and worshiped them and have forsaken me and not kept my law. And one of the laws, honor your father and your mother. This principle of authority is absolutely vital to the well-being of the family, to the well-being of a community, to the well-being of a nation. The people did not follow God's laws. They forsook God and they wound up in exile. So, authority must be recognized and followed, and this begins at home. A child will never find a better place to learn what honor is and how to appreciate it than the home. So all parents, you need to make sure you have this principle established in your home and you follow it. It is for your children's well-being. So first of all, this command is about authority. Second of all, this command is about responsibility. Okay? Responsibility. A wise man, Solomon, had this to say about obeying and honoring our parents. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, he says, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heeds his father's instructions, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. In other words, if you mock your father and you disobey your mother, trouble is headed your way. Thus says the Lord. Now, what does the word honor actually mean? Well, in a simple phrase, it simply means to give weight to something. To give weight to something. And it has the idea of giving great value to something. Your parents. The Oxford English Dictionary says that honor means this, and I think this carries the idea. To regard with great respect or high esteem. When you honor your parents, you respect them. You esteem them highly. You give them great value. They're worthy. They're worth something. To honor our parents signifies that we've loved them, that we have respect for them, and we submit to their authority. To disobey this command is to dishonor God, as I said just a few minutes ago, because God is our Father, and this is God's design. Now, as I said just a few minutes ago, this is a command that is found in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." There's a promise attached to this particular command. Now, the word obey that Paul uses there is a word that means to hear under something. And it speaks of submissive obedience. The children in the family are to answer to the authority of their parents. The authority of their parents. Again, remember? Remember that authority that we talked about. And he says, obey your parents. Notice, in the Lord. In the Lord. Now, is this always easy? No. It's not always easy, is it? All you who have had parents. It can be quite difficult at times. It's not always enjoyable, but understand it is the best way because it is God's way. And no, I don't believe that we should obey things that are, when we're told to do things that are absolutely contrary to the Word of God either. Because we are to obey in the Lord. In the Lord. So when we obey, we are under the authority of living at home. Okay, we obey when we are under their authority while at home. But after we leave home, then we are to honor them, which again means that we respect them. It means that we do not speak badly about them or to them. It means that we take care of them if necessary. It means that you can even seek their opinions about things at times. I remember after I was married out of the house, I'd call my dad every once in a while, and I'd ask his opinion about something. What do you think? Did I always take it? Not always. But I valued his opinion. Understand this, folks. Honoring does not mean that you always agree with a parent. But it does mean that you never disrespect your parent. May not agree, but I will not disrespect. That means that at times if you and your parent, you're having a disagreement, before you say something you ought not to say, walk away. Just leave. Go somewhere else. Show them honor. All right? They are in a high position. Because God has established the position of parenthood, of father and mother. And even with my own parents, I might not always, and there were times when I really did disagree with my father at times. But I always honored because he was my father. Because of his position. I don't want to get too deeply in this. I may not respect the President of the United States, but I'm going to honor the office of the President of the United States because I think that is a high office. And I will respect the office, even though I might not be able to respect everything the man does. I can go to a courtroom And I might not respect all the judgments that that judge made, but you know what? In that courtroom, he's your honor. And I have to remember that. We need to remember that. Because the question comes, what if a parent is not honorable? What if a parent is not honorable? And we all know that no parent is perfect, and some fall far short of being and doing what they should do. So again, I believe it's the position because of who they are as being a father or mother, even if the things that they've done are not deserving of honor because they are our parent, we are told to honor. That is what we are to do. And I have to deal with this before I move on, because I know the question will be asked. Brother Steve, what about a parent that was abusive? Okay? Because we know that we have those kind of parents. What do we do in a situation like that? A parent that was abusive in whatever form. Listen to me, folks. You can't honor something that is despicable, something that is ungodly. I mean, when you start talking about stuff like that, we're talking about another category altogether, right? And you can't honor that. I mean, and many times it's things that's illegal according to the laws of the land. We're talking about those extreme cases. You say, well, what am I supposed to do if it was a parent that psychologically abused me or something like that? Here's what I would say to you today. I think that the honorable thing to do, and I'll use this word, I think the biblical thing that all of us are called to do in situations like that is that we are called to pray for those people. Okay, what do you mean pray? We pray for that parent. We are to pray that God will break them and they will be brought to repentance. And confession and admission of their sins against God and their terrible acts against other people. We are to pray that God will break them. That does not mean to excuse what they did. That doesn't mean that we overlook what they did. But we are praying that they will be saved and that through that salvation experience, they will come clean. They will admit what I did was horrible and terrible. And guess what? If they need to pay the consequences legally, so be it. Maybe some of you have heard of a king in the Bible, Old Testament, name of Manasseh. Manasseh was king of Judah, the northern king of Judah, 55 years. I mean, that would be like, you know, he was still king today. I mean, he would have come on the scene somewhere around 1967, 1968, somewhere in that neighborhood. He'd have been king that long. He was as wicked and vile as they come. 55 years of worshiping false gods, 55 years of leading the nation in abominable practices. Oh, by the way, King Manasseh, he sacrificed his own son in a fire. He made his own son pass through the fire. He sacrificed his son to a false god. The Bible tells us that he shed gallons of blood from innocent people. Prophets would come and they would warn him and they would preach. Wouldn't listen. And so finally one day God said, enough. God had the Assyrians to come and to lead him off into captivity. And while he was there, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 12, he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. He prayed and God heard him and God forgave him and actually brought him back to his kingdom. And that is when we read in 2 Chronicles 33:13, then Manasseh knew that the Lord Yahweh was God. God brought him back to his kingdom. Manasseh tried to make reforms. Manasseh tried to undo some of the things that he'd done, but guess what? The die was cast. Judah and Jerusalem were going to be taken away captivity. You know why? Because of the things they had done under the reign of Manasseh. He received forgiveness for his wicked acts. He got right with God, but there were still consequences that he had to pay for those actions. And I'm saying, a parent that has done wrong, you pray for their salvation. Because as I understand it, there is no sin so great that God cannot forgive. None. But if something has been done wrong and they need to answer for it before the law, then that's what needs to happen. I'm absolutely convinced of that. And I know what somebody would say to me today. They say, no, wait a minute, Brother Steve. Wait a minute. What you're saying now, what I hear you saying is, you're saying that a person can get forgiveness and they won't go to hell, but they still might go to jail. That's exactly what I'm saying. You say, I don't understand that. How can that happen? It's a little thing we like to call around here grace. That's why it's so amazing. You suffer the consequences. Relationships may not ever be right again. There will be those issues. But a person may not have treated you like a person created in the image of God. They may have abused, a parent may have done that, but we do not have the luxury, according to the scripture, to return the same thing to them. We are to do what God would have us to do, to treat them better than they treated you. Because, that's what Jesus did. And that's not to make light of anything anybody's been through here this morning. I've not been there. I don't know what it's like to grow up in that kind of condition. But I do know this. God's grace is greater than all of our sin. And we are to pray that God will do a great work. There is responsibility in this command. Children, we are to obey our parents. We are to honor them, even when sometimes they can be extremely difficult. And even when they've done things that they should not have done, we're still pray for them that God will do a work in their life. I'm absolutely convinced of that. And I'm convinced of one other thing too. The third point, this command is about longevity. It says that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Okay, understand, because I know whenever I read that, and I've heard this said before, maybe you thought this, yeah, if I didn't obey my parents, if I didn't honor my parents, yep, I wouldn't be long upon this land because my daddy took me out. I know, I understand that. I mean, how many of y'all can say amen to that? Yeah, it would have happened. Absolutely. Yep, no, I wouldn't have lived long. I'd have sassed my dad or my mom one time and it had been over. That's not the context of this verse. The context of this verse is God is about to give them a land. He is about to send them to the promised land. And he says, if you want to stay there, if you want to live long, if you want to dwell there, you better obey this command. And if you do, your days will be long. You'll enjoy the promised land that I'm sending you to. As I said just a few minutes ago, Paul makes this applicable in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3 to us today. Obey this command, and it will be well with you. But now we also know that according to the Old Testament, disobedience to parents could not only result in discipline at the house, disobedience to parents in the Old Testament could mean death. Exodus chapter 21, verse 17 says, "And he who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death." Listen to this. This is a little longer. This is Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21. He says, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of the city, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. And you shall put away the evil from among you. And all Israel shall hear you." All Israel shall hear you. Now, can you imagine another mom and daddy using that against their son? Now, you heard what happened to Jim Bob the other day, don't you? You heard what they did down to him down there to see to get. You heard how they took him out. You keep on. The idea was to cause fear in the people. And he says here, he said, "You shall put away the evil from you." Listen, disobedience, not honoring your parents, is evil. I haven't seen anything in the Old Testament or the New Testament about putting your youngin' in a timeout. This is more like a took out. But if you wanted to dwell in the land, just do like God had told you to do. They didn't do that, and guess what? Well, it was all over with, not just this sin, but a lot of other sins that they, just forsaking the law of God, they were sent into exile. They didn't stay there because they disobeyed God. Interestingly enough, over in the New Testament, Mark chapter 7, Jesus calls out the Pharisees for not following this command. You know, they come up to Jesus and say, "How come your disciples don't follow the tradition? They don't follow the law." There was the law of men, you know, about, you know, washing your hands and doing different things. I mean, they transgressed the law. They're not following the commands that, you know, they're supposed to be following. And Jesus said, "Why do you transgress the law?" He said, "For you know what the Bible says. You know what God said. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the earth." But he said, "You've come up with this little thing. You go to your mom and dad. You say, 'Listen, Mom, I know you need that new hip. I know you need that surgery. I know you need this. I know you need that. I know you need this, Dad. But listen, I have already dedicated that money to God.'" It was called Corban, which meant dedicated to God. And since I've already dedicated this money to God, I've already dedicated this gift, I can't give it to you. I'm sorry, Mom and Dad. I wish I could help. I wish I could honor you this way. But I've already dedicated it to God. Can you imagine the audacity not helping your parents and then blaming God for it? That's what they did. Oh, by the way, do you think they were really going to use that money to serve God? I think not. It was just a way to get around not obeying their parents. They had made up this law. They had made up this tradition. And this, and along with a lot of others, this is what caused them to reject Jesus. And oh, by the way, listen, 40 years after this, around about 40 years, the Jews wouldn't be in that land anymore either. Jerusalem would be gone. The temple would be in ruins. They wouldn't dwell long. Why? Because they did not obey this command along with others. God's not to be trifled with. I know that I know that we take this kind of stuff lightly, but God's word is not to be trifled with. The New Testament speaks of the last days being times when children will be disobedient to parents. And are we seeing that right and left? And by the way, let me just say this. I know we got a lot of teachers, folks that work in school. God bless y'all. God bless y'all, each and every one, for what you do every day. I know sometimes people look at me and say, "Preacher, I would not do what you do." And I look at teacher, "I would not do what you do." I am so grateful for what you do, you godly teachers. And you have to deal with kids who have not learned authority at home. They've not learned honor at home. And so there's disobedience to parents. It's the last days. And since the family is a pillar for a healthy nation and the overall well-being of a nation, to see it erode as it is doing means only one thing: the end is near. I believe that with all of my heart. Folks, when I look at the family, when I look at the three institutions God ordained, put into place, the family, the church, and the government. And I look at what the family has become today in too many cases. When I look at what some call the church today and see what she's become or what people think is the church, and when I see the government today, I'm going to tell you what, folks, the very bedrock of our society is gone. No wonder. No wonder. That which can guard, can guide, and grow a nation. The government to guard, to protect us. To allow us to be able to preach the gospel, to live in freedom. It's corrupt. That which is to guide us, the church, through the word of God, the Bible is being changed. The Bible is being denied. And that which is to grow us, the family, it's under attack. It's no wonder. That things are in such chaos. So you destroy a foundation and everything built upon it will crumble. It will not last long. When honor and respect are gone, when no one places themselves under authority but rebels against it, then everyone does what's right in his own eyes. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And that's what we see today. And by the way, let me just finish this out by saying this. It is no coincidence, I believe, that this command is placed where it is. The first four commands, as you know, they deal with our relationship with God. They're vertical. Our worship to God. Having no other gods before us. To not take God's name in vain. To remember His day and to keep it holy. And now you move to these other six, which have to do with our horizontal relationships. Well, you know, we're going to be murder and stealing and committing adultery and lying and coveting. And guess what? When God begins with talking about our relationships with other people, where does He begin? In the home. And if we get this wrong, then guess what? The murder, the hatred, the adultery, all of those things will be behind. Because we don't know, we don't learn at home how to honor the way we should. You know, when I first started this series, I was looking at all these commandments, and I'm thinking, yeah, and I know what I can say about this one. This one here. But when I get down to, oh yeah, man, this is going to be good preaching. But I have to, y'all don't think preachers would do that, but I mean, we do. At least I do, anyway. But I was thinking about this particular man. I said, honor your father and your mother. Wow. Good gracious. I'm going to pray about it, but I'm going to be honest with you. Folks, I cut out about 3 pages of notes. This is so huge. This is so big that I did this week. I just had to swipe out about 3 pages. It just grew and grew and grew and grew because this is fundamental that we get it. And so today, as we have our hymn of invitation, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you today, I want you to pray specifically for these things. Number one, I want you to pray for families today. If you've got a good family, you grew up in a good family, I want you to praise God for your family. You need to praise God today for your family. If you didn't, if there's bitterness, if there's anger, you need to pray through that. If there are things that were wrong that need to be righted, you need to pray for that as well. You need to turn all this over to the Lord. I'm not just up here talking, trying to get you to bow your head or get on the altar or anything. I'm telling you, it needs to begin with prayer. Let's pray for our family. Let's pray for our church family, the families in this church, those who have kids, that, whether they're small or whether they're teenagers, that they'll catch on to this, that our parents will be honorable people and that our kids will understand it begins at home. And I need to be respectful and honor my mom and dad because that's what God would have me to do.